Well, I'm glad you're here. I'd preach this sermon if you weren't, but I'm glad you're here. I just look forward to this. I've been working on Psalm 71 this year. Joyce and I try to choose one verse each year that we memorize, and then I'll memorize a psalm. Years ago, I felt like the Lord told me, I want you in the psalms this year. I want you to work on the psalms and memorize them, different psalms, and I memorized a bunch of them. And they never showed up in my sermons, which bugged me. I thought, what was this the Lord wanting me to do this? Or was this just me? You know, did I miss something? Because usually when I'm memorizing scripture, God will do something in my heart with it, and they show up in sermons. They may not even be in my notes. You know how that is. You preach, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit just bring one of them verses you're working on into the sermon because it fits perfect. And that just makes for good preaching. And they didn't show up. And I thought, well, the older I get, the more precious the psalms are to me. Anybody know what I just said or not? The older I get, the more precious the psalms are to me. This Psalm 71 that I'm going to use as a launching pad to speak to you each noon is a prayer of David. My old Scofield says the title, you know, he'll title what the psalm is going to be about and those kind of things. And he says it's a prayer for old age. Never mind, you didn't appreciate that, okay? It's happening to me, okay? Or it's arrived, or whatever you want to say. And it's just a real special psalm to me. And I've only preached out of it one other time earlier this year. And I'm not doing anything like those messages when I just actually went through each verse. But I'm taking it and doing it as I feel like the Lord would have me do and talk about the subject of faith. So what I'd like to do is we'll unpack it in sections of six. It's 24 verses, so obviously the last six we won't do. But we'll take a look at these, and hopefully we'll get a feel for these things, okay? In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Now, that's his statement of faith. The rest of the psalm is a prayer, either a prayer, praising prayer, or it's a prayer. So you listen to this. You think about this, and I believe this is a psalm of David. He doesn't ID it, but the next psalm says, the last verse of Psalm 72 says, the prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are now ended. So on this side of it are the Davidic Psalms. And they were prayers. Many of these things were just flat out his prayers. The Jews sang them, okay? They took the prayers of David that were in the songbook, and they would sing those psalms. Now, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Here goes his prayers. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness, and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me, and save me. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me. Thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For thou art my hope, O Lord God, thou art my trust from my youth. That's significant. I'll give you the last verse and I'll come back with a question. Okay, what number was that? I shouldn't stop like that. For thou art my hope, thou art my trust from my youth. By thee have I been held up from the womb. Thou art he. I couldn't help but think about you, Joe. How many times your hands have caught children? But listen to what he says. He's saying this to God. By thee have I been held up from the womb. Thou art he who took me out of my mother. My praise. How many of you have seen, my praise shall be continual unto thee? How many of you have seen the billboard? Maybe it's not in this part of the country, but it has a picture of a baby and says, evidence for God. Any of you ever seen that? It's a good billboard. You were the hands so many times, but it was God who brought him out of the womb and gave him life. Being born, we looked at Job. He was born into this world. Well, anyway, let me back up before I get all. I prayed, God, don't let me get wound up so tight I don't make sense. I'm excited. How many of you ever overtalk? None, me either. Okay, here we go. I had a question. Thou art he who took me from... Thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. He says the same thing in Wednesday's section I'll be quoting, that he's known the Lord from his youth, since he was young. How many of you have known the Lord since you were a young person? Okay. You realize what a blessing that is? It's a great blessing. You have more time to travel with him, get to know him better for when you was young and right on up. How many of you did come from Christian homes where you're taken to Bible-believing, Bible-preaching churches? Okay, many of you. I dare say many of you. How many of you know that's not always the case? Would you agree? So you've got a great... I think David is talking about Jesse and his home, and I've known you a long time, Lord. Well, let me see here. It's a psalm of David, a prayer for old age. I don't know exactly how old he was. I tried to examine this, but I've taken a shot. If you don't have real clear-cut stuff, you can take almost this theological liberty, but that's always risky. I don't know how old he was, but I think he's got some time on him, if nothing more, from tomorrow's section of verses. He says, "Cast me not off in the time of old age, nor forsake me when my strength faileth." So he's older. He's not a young person, right? He said, "I've known you from my youth." 2 Samuel, let me see where it is. Let me read this for you. 2 Samuel 21, David, verse 15, it says, "Moreover, the Philistines had yet war again with Israel. And David went down and his servants with him, his servants were his soldiers, his mighty men, this army of men that are with him, and his servants with him and fought against the Philistines. And David grew faint." I'm thinking he's probably still thinking he can do like he used to do, but he got tired. He grew faint. How many of you know there was a day lions, giants, and bears were routine? How many of you know what I just said? Not this time. He's still thinking, "Hey, Philistines, you want to dance? Let's get it on." That's a loose translation, okay? But you know, he felt like, "I can do this." But when he got into the battle with the Philistines, he didn't have what he used to. Okay, I'm going to try to say this. There's no way at my age I could do police work that I used to do when I was in my 20s. How many of you followed that? I may think I can. There are days I wish I had a badge and a uniform again with some of the jerks there are on the road. Okay? Just pull them over for a minute. Anybody know what I just said? It ain't going to happen. Those days are gone. And I think that's what old David is. And I think he probably pens this. Maybe he's in his late 50s, early 60s. And you can't do in your late 50s, early 60s. You may think you can. But what you used to do in your 20s, when your legs were like the hinds of a deer, and you could just fly over the rocks and run and go and do. You may think you can, but you can't do it. But the Lord that he's known throughout that entire time, you know what his men said around him? Let's read a little bit more. And Ishbabinab, what a name to be tagged with, okay? Who was one of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of bronze in weight. He, being girded with a new sword, thought of slaying David. He sees old David out there. I think I'm going to kill him. He killed my dad. He killed Goliath. I'll kill him. But Abishai, the son of Zerah, came to his aid and smote the Philistine and killed him. Then the men of David swore unto him, saying, "Thou shalt not go no more out with us to battle, for that thou quench not the light of Israel." You got a different role now, and it ain't leading us to do the fighting. What I'm trying to say to you is I've come to grips with the fact things change. I used to think they ain't going to change. It's always going to be like this. How many of you know that's the only constant in your life is change? Anybody know what I just said or not? It's just change. And I need to realize that. God is raising up other people to do different kinds of things. I think David's in that mindset. That's, by the way, 2 Samuel 21 is so good to read about that because his men really rallied around him. They started killing the rest of the four sons that were left of the giants. And one of them was David's brother's son, Jonathan, not the Jonathan of Saul, but David's brother's son, Jonathan. He said, "I'm going to take one on." And he went down and killed one of the giants. And then other men did as well, till finally all the giants were destroyed. Now, in thee do I put my trust. I can tell you this. David knows God. At this time of his life, he knows God in thee. He does not see God through some kind of a theological structure through which to process information about God. He knows God personally by this time. He knows God in thee. In other words, Psalms 23, he says, the Lord is my shepherd. In Psalms 27, he says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. The next verse says, the Lord is the strength of my life. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord, even the Lord, is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. And you start seeing the Psalms with David, this, he's talking about God. He knows God. How do you know there's a difference than knowing about God and knowing God? There's people that have ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Would you agree with this now? That concerns me. I want to know God. People said to me, have said that they know. That's my last year of our last year of itinerant preaching. Not preaching. I would explode if I didn't preach. My poor wife is in for some sermons next year, okay? Because I'm going to be studying, and she'll come out of the house drooling. He preached at me again. I don't know what's going to happen, but we're not going to do this itinerant stuff, okay? Because I want to. At the top of the pile, people say, "What are you going to do then? What are you going to do?" Top of my list is I want to get to know God. You think in my age you ought to know God by now. I'm afraid I know more about him than I know him. I remember as a kid growing up in church, and they would always say, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? And I knew the language of Christianity and not the Christ of Christianity. Help me. You see the dangers here? Somehow David says, in thee do I put my trust. Not all this stuff about you, God, that I know you. I know you. I want to get to know God. That struck me a couple of years ago when a camp that I've been preaching at, one of the first places we started preaching 39 years ago. I was still a cop. I used to go up there and speak to the junior high kids as Trooper Tom. And I would come out in my uniform and they'd all go, ah. And show them my gun. Okay. Bulletproof. That was my win. I won a hearing. I didn't know anything about the scriptures, but they love my cop stories. You know what I mean? Just what I did last week was just. The old boy that founded that camp, I went to that camp as a kid because our church was a part of that camp. His first wife died. She had a congenital heart defect, blah, 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 and left him with one son. And he stayed on with the camp. This is a godly man. He remarried a gal about 15 years younger than him. Now, if you're going to be honest, you know he has to think, that's okay because when I get older, she'll take care of me. But she took cancer and died, leaving them with another son. And at 70 years old, Paul said to Johnny, what are you going to do now? And he answered without a moment's hesitation. He says, it's about time for me to get to know God. And he was a godly man. Whoa. And he started reading the Puritans and John Owen, and if you know any of these writers, he started reading about a deeper walk, Hudson Taylor's spiritual secret. He didn't get to know God until he was an older man. And I mean, let's face it, China Inland Mission, he's kind of turning the world upside down in that part of the world. But he got to know God. I look at life and say, because I see people getting older, shifting into neutral. And can I tell you something? When you shift into neutral, you do not stay where you're at. You go backwards. Because the pull never pulls you closer to God. Would you agree with that? The world ain't pushing you on closer to God. The sinful impulses are still living you. And the devil sure ain't going to help you. The pull is this way, and that concerns me. I want to get to know God. I believe David is a man who knows God. And I want to know how he got to know God. And I think there's some ways that we can take a look at this. And thee, O Lord, how did he get to know God? I believe it was as a shepherd boy. Remember that? Samuel, go to the house of Jesse. I got me a king there. I want to anoint. He said, now don't you look on his stature. And don't you look at his countenance. He said, you just look to me and I'll give you the high sign. He's the one you take the oil and pour on his head. He'll be the next king. I want to be a man after my own heart. He's young. In fact, he's not even included in the group that's going to stand before Samuel. And God says, nope, not him. Nope, 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 nope. Finally, Samuel says, do you have here any other sons? He's my youngest boy's out with the sheep right now. He said, run him by. And God said, that's the one. Whew. within moments, he's sent as a delivery boy. He's going to deliver the raisins and the figs to his older brothers while they're supposedly out defending Israel against the Philistines. From a delivery boy and to a man who destroys a giant, he's getting to know God. He said, I got news for you, big boy. This is a loose translation, okay? This ain't KJ. He said, I got news for you, big boy. The Lord's going to deliver you into my hands. It ain't the sling. He knew it wasn't him. He said, the Lord, he's getting to know God. He got to know God in his journey. He knew what it was to do right and have to dodge spears because of it. He knew what it was to have advantage over a king who had sworn to kill him. And he said, I will not lift my hand against the Lord's anointed. Just look at the life. And I'm giving you the hive. You know, we're just touching down on mountain things that all of us who know our Bible at all should know about this man, David, who's penning this psalm toward the end of his days. He got to know him from my youth. Oh, Lord God, thou art my hope. Thou art my trust from my youth. I think he recalls some of the things that God has done in his life. He's on the run, wondering, God, am I anointed king, hiding in caves and still doing right by God? The city of Jabus, I'm just going to read a few of these and you fill in the blanks. They mocked him and laughed, called him a jackal, a fox trying to tear down the walls of Jabus. Sent a man on the inside, the door was opened, and it now is going to be renamed Jerusalem, the city of the great king, the city of Zion, the city of David. He built a palace. There was a covenant established, a promise made. And who am I, O Lord, that thou should consider me the least of the children of Israel, the least, the smallest family? A regret, a repentance, a worship. How do you know what I just described? A regret. How do you know if he could do that Bathsheba scene over, he'd done it differently? Please say amen. Does this man know God? Can I tell you what? When the child finally died and how God used Nathan to go into a man who is afar off from God right now, because he's murdered a man. Uriah has been killed. The plot was made. Who would have ever dreamed? David would have died, I'll never do anything like this. And finally said, you're the man. And he was struck by God, this God. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. And he was struck with it. And he says, I have sinned. I'm tired of it. He got to know God in these times. And then as he interceded for the child to live, it may be that God will let him live. And the child died. 7 days, no food, no water. I don't want any company. And he laid before God. The child died. The servants began to whisper. And he stood up and said, the child's dead. They said, yes, my king, the child died. You know what it says he did? He went in and washed himself and put on his clothing and he worshiped. If David had not worshiped God at that moment, he'd have never worshiped God again. Been over for him. He knows about a God who does not impute sin upon him. He has an imputed righteousness, Romans chapter 4. He knows God. How many people, man, I blew it, things. Even God can't forgive me now. That's straight out of hell. And he went back into worship. This old boy knows God. When he picks up the pen here, and when you read the things he's asking for in prayer, you think, whoa, David, you know something about God I don't know. He was denied permission to build a temple, for he wanted to build a house for God. Solomon's not born. He said, I've got a son that's going to come to you. He'll build the temple. You can lay up for him, but you can't build the temple. He knew the cost. He got to know God. Well, let me leave that. That's so sobering as I think about a man's. How many of you wish that your Christian journey was all roses and rainbows? Anybody know what I just said? Let's get real. How many of you know we have some bumps in the road? How do you know that we sometimes suffer for righteousness' sakes, but most of the time we suffer for our own mistakes? You know what the Bible says in 2 Peter? When you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. But when you suffer for doing wrong, take your lumps. That's a loose translation, but it's there. Just take your lumps. I'd rather give out lumps. Anybody know what I just said? I don't want to take them. In your journey of faith, it isn't just, oh, everything's just... He got to know God in life. I'm looking at life and thinking, man, if I could do some things over. Oh, he is still God. Moving on. In. I love the word in. My favorite word of the whole psalm is the first word, in. Do we even know the dictionary definition of the word in? It means to be completely surrounded by. You didn't get it. Okay, here. Finger in ring. Okay. In. He is completely surrounded by God. In thee. He's saying, God, in thee do I put my trust. In thee. I'll try this. Angel, Gabriel, young virgin girl, Mary, shows up, says, fear not. He said, you found favor with God. And he says, you're going to have a child. You're going to have a son. I want you to name him Jesus. And he's going to forgive his people for their sins. She says, how's that going to be, seeing I know not a man? And I believe this girl knows the scriptures. I really do. She says, seeing I know not a man. And the angel Gabriel says, the power of the Most High, see, the Holy Spirit shall overshadow you, and the power of the Most High shall, see, the Holy Spirit shall cover you, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow you, and that holy thing which is conceived in your womb will in fact be the Son of God. Do you know her response to this? Her question was not in doubt, but in faith. She said, okay, I'm going to have a baby, but how's it going to be since I've not known a man? I'm engaged to a guy by the name of Joseph. I'm sure you know that. Angel, give me. But he said, how's this going to be? So he tells her, listen to what she says, behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy will. She's all in. She's in at this time. In. You ain't saying amen? I'll try another one. Joseph, when she is found of child, and how do you know he would, he'd have to be a rocket scientist to figure it out, it ain't his. You know, he didn't contribute to this. And he's chosen her because she's probably a good moral, and he, being a just man, scripture talks about. He's going to do things right. He's got a standard. He's got virtue. He's going to live by. This is a good man, Joseph. But he said, I'll put her away privately. I don't want to shame her, but I'm not going to marry this gal. She's carrying someone else's child. And the angel Gabriel shows up to him and says, do you know Isaiah 7:14? The Lord himself is going to give you. He didn't say that, but he's going to quote it, okay? He didn't ask him, do you know the scriptures? But he knows it because when he hears it, he's going to say, I'm all in. I'm in. He said, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bring forth the son. And his name should be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. She's having a boy. It's going to be God's son, and he's going to dwell among men. We read those things and think, well, yeah, of course he nodded his head. He had to make a choice. He says, I'm in. I know what people are going to say, but I'm in. No amens? Well, here we go. I'll try another one. By the way, how do you know we've gone a long time with these? Because there's people, we're going to look in this book here. This is our manual that shows us, are you in thee? You putting it all in? Are you all in when it comes to trusting Christ? In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. In thee. A guy by the name of Abraham. He said, I want you to pack up your family, your wife. I want you to go to a place that I will show you. He said, where are we going? He said, you leave, I'll tell you. You know, he may have headed straight the opposite direction, but God said, well, he's going now. I'll steer him. Do you know how much easier it is to steer a moving car than one that's sitting still? Sometimes God says, get going, and we take off. I was convinced the call of God on my life to preach meant to pastor. I didn't ask God about it. Preach me, pastor. You can't preach unless you're going to be a pastor. And I got going. He let me preach for 4 years. Them poor people, I wanted to mow them all down and start all over. I can remember when some people come in late. Horrible. I would address them, right? Because my philosophy was, listen, when you're early on time, when you're on time, you're late. Is there somebody who could say amen to that? There's some people that are just late. It's tradition. It's just, I'd say that right from the pulpit, and they either wouldn't come back or they were on time next Sunday. What a rotten pastor I was.
But what? I learned some things about preaching. You better get a word from God before you stand up there and mumble around. And it takes time to do this. And I realized this is a holy thing. Preaching is not so much standing before men, it's standing before God, the unseen one here. You see, I learned so many valuable things in them 4 years of disaster. And people are so happy to see me leave. Okay. And then I've been preaching now. See, you get going. And Abraham just got going. And God established a covenant with me. He said, through you, your loins, I'm going to send a deliverer. Listen, can you count them? Can you look at the sand? He said, your descendant is going to be more than that. He says, amen. Okay, you're getting another one. I'm going to keep this up. Say amen. These guys are in. Would you agree with this? When these people in the scriptures, God says things to them. Noah, can you imagine being Noah? And he says, God says, I've seen the wickedness on the earth and every imagination and thoughts of heart, only evil continually, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He says, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to flood this place and everybody on the planet's going to die except the ones that's going to be in a boat that you're going to build. Amen. Okay. How are you glad he was in when that door was shut? Somebody help me now. Have you got the picture yet? How do you know if it's all you got to do is start looking at them characters in the Bible? You're reading your own mail. You're looking in the mirror. And God is saying, are you in? Because it's insane otherwise. This being in the 1 foot in the doorway of indecision is not what God is asking us for. Are you in? Are you in this thing? Oh, I'm enjoying this if you're not, okay? My trust, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. That's his statement of faith, my. If you want a fun thing to do, take Psalm 71, and every time you see that little pronoun, my, just circle it. It's got 24 verses, got 24 my's. My. My trust. I'm going to make this statement. I hope you can handle it. You can only live so long off of someone else's faith. Come on, your children can only live so long off mom and daddy's faith. Help me with it. Would you agree with that? There's got to be something that's yours, your faith. How many of you can't go to heaven proxy off of somebody else's faith? It's his personal stuff that David is embracing in thee, O God, O Lord, O Yahweh, Elohim Adonai. I put my trust, what God gives him, his trust. I'll make a statement. Take care of your faith. Take care of your faith. Our memory verse this year is 1 Corinthians 2:5. Let me give you the verses above it because I love it about preaching. Every preacher ought to have these memorized. He says, and Paul said, when I came unto you, I came not with excellency of speech nor of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling, and my speech and preaching were not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in that your faith, here's the reason he said, not in the words of man's, that your faith, yours, my faith is mine, your faith, yours, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. By the way, if you know the context there, all of 1 Corinthians chapter 1 from about 17 on is the gospel, that Christ is the power of God. Christ is the wisdom of God. It's the foolishness of preaching the cross. It's foolishness to them that perish, but to those who believe, it is the power of God unto salvation. It's all Christ. You preach Christ. Your faith, your faith. What responsibility do I have with regard to my faith in God? How many of you live long enough to know there's times when your faith is strong and times when it's weak? If you, by the way, if you have to leave, I understand that. That's fine. In fact, if the place empties, I'm going to stay here and finish this sermon. My last time doing this, I'm going to do it, okay? Here we go. Your faith can be weak. It can be strong. Where do you get that from? How about Romans 4:19. I'm almost to the message. Stay with me. If you'd have said amen early on other ones, we'd have been near done. Romans 4:19 through 21, it takes Abraham by faith, Abraham, okay? No, that's the Hebrews section by faith. But here's what it says about Abraham. By faith, Abraham, nope, I've got in my mind that picture. Anybody know how verse 19 starts? In the real Bible, don't start me with a translation other than this one. I'm just teasing, okay? Well, it was in here yesterday. Here we go. And being not weak in faith. How many of you have looked at the life of Abraham and at least found a couple occasions where his faith was weak? She's my sister. How about that one? How about the Hagar gig? Sounds like the will of God to me. Never mind, you're not enjoying. But there was a time his faith, though it was weak, as he went on in his journey of faith, he became the father of faith, the father of us all. I mean, this man is going to embrace mighty faith to where God can say to him, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to a mountain that I will show you and offer him to me there a burnt sacrifice. You say, man, he's strong in faith there. Let me tell you where else he was strong in faith. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. How do you know Isaac was not immaculate conception? Okay. How do you know at 100, if Joyce and I, at our ages, if you conceive, honey, we're naming it Isaac. As simple as that. I don't care if it's a girl. Anybody enjoy that or not? Do you realize what an act of faith it was that those two old people came together? She's 90. Let me see it again. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. That's a game changer in his life. And he's an old man when it happens. And God said, I'll endorse that. And I'll bless that. And without that blessing, we don't have a Savior. I want to become strong in my faith. I have responsibility to my faith to the place where God can say to me at any point, sacrifice it. And he rose up early in the morning and said to his son Isaac, let's go yonder and worship. You carry the wood, I'll carry the fire and the knife. They're nearing the place. God's made it clear to him. He said, Dad, we got the fire, we got the wood, we got the knife. Where's the sacrifice? You realize how powerful this is? He said, God will provide for himself a sacrifice. And that's exactly what he did in Jesus Christ. Because when he was about to obey God and take his son's life, God said, Abraham, Abraham, now I know that you trust me. You reverence me. You'll do what I ask you to do. Whew. Anybody want to join me? I got a long way to go before I get there. Anybody know what I just said? God, I want things where I still want the control of me, and none of you. You just don't have a clue what I'm talking about. Come on. I still struggle with this. But I'd love to have my faith come to the place where I become strong in faith. My faith. I have responsibilities to my faith in who I put it. God. I want to trust in God. He staggered not through unbelief. Let me give you Hebrews 3:12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. We do not know how wicked the sin of unbelief is, doubting God, demanding proof. It is the mother of all sin, unbelief. When God says this and we question and doubt. Whew. Take heed, first Paul's first letter to Timothy, chapter 4, verse 1. The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. They'll depart from. Notice what it says, take heed lest any of you depart from. And excuse me, with an evil heart of unbelief, depart from. You can't depart from some place you haven't been. At one time, they had faith. At one time, they walked with God. Certain things happen, and they walk away from God with a heart of unbelief. I don't know what we're going to be facing the next generation, next decade, if God gives us that. But it's bothered me to see people that God has used in my life for good, in my walk with God, walk away from God. That bothers me. Bothers me to see children grow up that when they're teen years, they love God and get older and walk away from God. That bothers me. You know what the issue is? It's the faith issue. Where's your faith? What needs to be strengthened? What responsibility do I have to nurture? How can I protect my faith? How can I protect? I'll tell you how. By making it strong. What did I tell you before I come? I said, I'm studying too long, got too much. Oh, let me make that. Let me give you two things and we're done. Faith builders. Now I'll give you one thing. How can I build up my faith? Let me give you a verse in Jude, verse 20. Only one chapter in there. He says, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. And he says, here's how you do it. Your most holy faith. Wouldn't you love the end of your life to have your most holy faith in your corner? Wouldn't you love my most holy faith? Praying in the Holy Spirit. Prayer. No man will be strong in faith who does not pray. Because the greatest evidence of your faith and mine is that we come to a God and believe that he is there. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We're learning about prayer. We have in the last 4 years, Joyce and I have embraced measures of prayer that we believe and are hoping that God is going to allow us to have ministry in intercession where no one knows about it. Her and I in prayer. Our prayer times have become precious to us. Praying together. Men, pray with your wives. Oh my goodness. Two of you agree, or three, as touching anything that should be done to your Father who's in heaven. Agree together with things in prayer. The illustrations come, and I'm thinking, man, how long do you do this? One of our daughters calls and says, we're under attack right now. And these are people who love God and serving the Lord, and things are just going on. And I remember going by a church one time and seeing the acronym BUSY, being under Satan's yoke. Don't think busy is always godly. Sometimes the pace of our life, I haven't got time for God right now. When you're too busy for God in prayer, you're too busy. Eliminate some lesser important things and shut her down and get in the presence of God in prayer. Prayer is where God and humans meet. It's coming to God and believing he's there. And she said this to Joyce. She says, we need the big guns, and we know you and Dad pray for us. And I thought, big guns. That didn't relate to you, but that related to me. You know what I carried we had off-duty gun right here and had a revolver up here, but I always carried a sawed-off shotgun under my knees in the front of the patrol car. That was a big gun. When you get that out and rack that baby, you have everyone's attention, let me tell you. That is a sobering sound. And the end of that thing looked like a stovepipe when you're looking at the wrong side. You know what I mean by that? And he said, yeah, we need the big guns. And Joyce and I, and she knew it. We went and got on our knees in our prayer chairs. And it wasn't no time at all. That issue was taken care of. I wonder how many things that God is waiting to do on our behalf if we would come to him in faith, believing he is there. I wonder. Okay? But ye beloved, building up yourselves. How do you wish you could hire someone to exercise and you get the benefits? How about that? If you can do that for me, I will pay you. You know what so many times we think? We think you're supposed to do the exercise and they get building up yourselves in your most holy faith. Prayer, looking at prayer and building up yourselves in it. Well, Jesus said this on prayer, and I don't know when I'm going to close. I keep lying to you, saying, eliminating things. Let me give you this. Jesus said, teaching on prayer, Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6. I know this is fast. Get what you can. Matthew chapter 6 said, and when you pray, he didn't say if you pray. He said, when you pray, be not as the hypocrites are who love to pray, standing in the corner of the street in the synagogue, maybe seeing the men. Verily I say, they have their reward. That's as good as it gets for them. People have seen them. God ain't got nothing to do with it. He said, but when you pray, enter into your closet, shut the door, and pray to thy Father in secret, and thy Father who seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. He's teaching us great things about prayer. And you may think it's the secret kind. When is what he said. When do you pray? Ecclesiastes 3 says this, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. There is a great need for us to purpose ourselves to pray. Because if we don't, we won't. If there's no purpose, you're not going to do it. I'm going to do this. It is an I will thing. I've noticed in some of the songs, I will do this. When do you pray? Do you have a time you say this when I pray? And make a recommendation to you. If you don't, choose one. I recommend David's Psalms 3. O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. Now, we know from other psalms that David said at morning and at evening, he starts out this way, at evening and at morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud unto thee. However, you know, he also talks about times of intercession between he and the Father during the night seasons and said they became precious to him. Any of you wake up in the middle of the night and can't go back to sleep? I went through that time. I'm not as bad as I used to be. But I can tell you this, I've learned to turn them babies into prayer. It became sweet times. I was looking forward to it. I don't like to, I have my 2:30, 3 o'clock constitutional. Any of you know what that means? Yeah. I got to use the old commode. That's in John somewhere. I don't know what it's. And I lay back down, and my first prayer is, Lord, let me go back to sleep, because I don't want to be awake at that time in the morning. Not so much anymore. I begin to intercede and talk to the Lord. You want strong faith? You say prayer's got to be a part of it. I got to put the priorities back where the priorities belong. If you have audience with the King of Heaven, and you're too busy with lesser important. This is insane. I'm talking, do you realize how many prayerless days I have logged even as a preacher? Cranking out, it's easier for me to study than it is to pray. Because you want to know who you are? Get alone with God and pray, and that's who you are and nothing more. That's who you are. God, I want to get to know you. I want to become a man of prayer. Well, God is not so much concerned with where you're at in your journey of faith. Now, this is worth hearing. And I'm done after this one. Made the commitment. In Psalms, God, 27, verse 8, God says to David, seek my face. And he said, with his heart, O Lord, thy face will I seek. That is nothing more than 2 Chronicles 7:14. Help me with it. If my people, God bless you, who are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. How many of you would be willing to admit, if I were to have preached what you've just heard in the last 10 minutes, it's been longer than that, but I'm trying to, in the last 30 minutes, if I would have preached it like this, you'd have said, something's wrong with this sermon. Come on, would you? This don't communicate. How many of you know that more of my communication happens with all the things I'm doing up here as opposed to just so many words coming out of a parakeet's mouth? When you talk to your kids, how many of you have ever said when you want their attention, look at me. You know what God is saying to us? Look at me. Seek my face. And then make some turns. God is not so concerned with where we are at in our journey of faith in this whole issue of prayer, but he is concerned with what direction we're facing. We're saying, God, I want to learn to pray. I want my prayer life. I want to raise the bar. I want it to notch up a little bit because in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust and nothing else but prayer. It's just prayer. Let me never be put to confusion because he knows that Satan is the author of confusion. Literally what that translation means is let me never bring a reproach upon your name. Do you remind me older people do that? Pastors, missionaries, people serve God. They get older and they kick into neutral and it goes the wrong direction and they walk away from God. I don't want that happening. If this ain't for you, it's for me. I don't want that to happen to me. People preach circles around me. Walk away from God. Weird, horrible things. I don't want that to happen. Well, I had two things. We'll see what we do tomorrow. Too much. Too intense. That's what I asked her in the car. How'd I do? Oh, Tom, And I can take it from her. I can take her criticism because I know she loves me. How do you know that's a key to taking criticism? If the person that loves you is given to you, I'll ignore it. I'm all in. Okay, here we go. That's my cue to listen. I'll pray and we'll be done. Okay. Thank you for coming. I hope you got something out of this avalanche. And you got some encouragement. I want to finish well. I want to finish well. Heavenly Father, take this. Take the truths I know that have been shared, the verses, the truths from your word, and strengthen our faith. Encourage us to pray. Call on me and I will answer thee. What a promise. I'll show you things we never could have imagined. How many of them things we have not because we ask not? Oh God, we've got discouraged and our faith has gotten weak. Oh God, strengthen our faith in you because our prayers will outlive us. My poor old mom never got to see her answers. But she prayed for me and I knew she prayed for me. May we be faithful in our prayers, God. May we learn prayers as Jesus gave illustration to his disciples to pray. Help us in our journey of faith. Oh God, strengthen our faith. Where we're weak, strengthen us, dear God. And we'll pray these things in the blessed name of Jesus, the mighty name of Jesus, the matchless name of Jesus. Amen. You're dismissed. Go where you need to go.